sharp, pointed, and insightful. This is Stacy on the Right on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
The FBI was misused in 2016. And this is an organization that is very, very important. This organization has been hit hard, and they need to be rehabilitated.
I think nothing splits the Democratic Party like the smell of pork. And so, you know, if I were the president, I would begin to build a list of terrific, important, needed, legitimate national security infrastructure investments.
I don't think he gets enough credit for the tax cuts that have been historic and have unleashed the economy to where they are today. And we've now seen, because of those tax cuts, more people working in America today than ever have been working in our nation's history.
And now, Stacy Washington.
Welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for being here today. It is hour two of the program. We're going to be speaking to Chad Groening of American Family Radio's news division. We're going to be talking about news of the day and the naughty list. Yeah, the naughty and nice list that's put out by American Family Radio every year for the retailers who actually allow Christmas to be a part of their advertising during this season. Now, I want to grab something for you because I found this pretty informative, and I work here. Remotely, of course. I'm in the suburbs of St. Louis West. So this is actually really, really great because this kind of gives us a way of ascertaining the good stuff that's going on, that's happening here at American Family Association and the division that I'm a part of, which is American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We have a founding in 1977, 183 radio stations, 32 states across the country, 150,000 homes that receive the AFA journal 11 times a year, 700,000 people who receive the AFA action alerts, and 1 million people per month who connect with AFA through web pages and social media. So that's quite a reach. And that doesn't include the numbers for how many people actually listen to the radio. And I know I often say I'm on 189 stations, and that's because I have a couple of other stations in addition to AFR and Urban that carry the program on their networks as well. So I'm really excited about the growth of the show and what God's been able to do through AFA, AFR, Urban Family Talk, and through the proliferation of our little program online and on terrestrial radio. So this hour, we're going to be talking about the kind of witch hunt that's been going on. And I have no compunction with calling it a witch hunt. If there were any evidence, we would have already seen it produced. It would have already been leaked. Because, you know, that's the thing with the leaks. If you notice, they're never leaks about how awesome someone is. They're always leaks with bad news. We haven't seen any, which means there aren't any, which means what are we still doing having an investigation? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about James Comey, who launched a lawsuit because he wanted to testify in public so he could say that's classified, that's classified. You heard Corey Lewandowski refer to that last hour. We are also just, you know, having a lot of discussion. We'll go turn back to the immigration issue. There's an expert that I was able to get some audio from talking about immigration on the wall, and we'll do that in the last segment. Call lines will be open this whole hour, 866-963-2037. Let's listen to Senator Warner, who's a Democrat. And the reason we're listening to this is because I want you to hear how important it is that people don't lie to Congress when the people who are suspected of lying are Republicans and the person speaking is a Democrat. It's super important. But if it's Hillary Clinton, there's no intent. Now, he doesn't mention Hillary Clinton, but that's one of the cases that is glaringly, it's like something that you can't turn off. It's a blinking light. It's something going on that you cannot get away from. The fact that she did wrong, Comey admitted she did wrong, but she wasn't prosecuted because she lacked intent. Well, how do we know what the intent was of these individuals unless we impute it to them because we either like them or we don't? So let's listen to Senator Warner. It's number one.
If we've seen something that we feel it would be appropriate to go to the special prosecutor, as Chairman Burr mentioned, we'll make those referrals. And we want to make clear that lying to Congress is a crime.
In the case of Michael Cohen, the special counsel came to you. Is that correct?
We have an ongoing relationship with the special counsel. We have, as you said, though, two different approaches. The special prosecutor is a criminal investigation. We are a counterintelligence investigation, and we've concluded, obviously, that Russia intervened massively, and we need to preclude that from happening again. We're also looking into the question of whether that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. I believe there are clear evidence that the Russians were offering information about Hillary Clinton. We know that. That's been documented in a number of these meetings. The question about whether it was full collusion, that is something both Chairman Burr and I are reserving judgment until we see all of the witnesses, and we've got more folks to see.
So, more folks to see. Do you hear how matter-of-fact he is about it? Do you hear how he just kind of sounds like, you know, this is just a matter of course. If someone lies to Congress, they need to be prosecuted. He doesn't seem to have any compunction about prosecuting anyone who's not a Republican, though. He doesn't even want, like, you don't hear him talking about prosecuting anyone who's not a Republican. He just doesn't seem to even have, like, those thoughts don't string together to lead to that conclusion. He doesn't have any reason to seek prosecution of anyone who might, he said they have connections and a relationship with the special counsel's office. Why don't you have that kind of relationship when the person who's being looked at is a Democrat? Why aren't you interested in Democrats being referred for prosecution? Because you don't really care about justice, do you, Senator Warner? You don't care about making sure that people adhere to the law. You're just interested in, you know, making sure that Republicans are sent up the river and that you protect every Democrat that you can. And how in the world can we as Christians get in line with that? Selective prosecution, justice only being for certain people. Why would we ever sign on to that? So now I want to listen to Goodlatte. He's the outgoing chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. And I've heard tell that it's going to be Lindsey Graham coming in January to be the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. And so he's talking about Comey coming to appear before him. And this is a fascinating chain of events because when, you know, Comey's been avoiding this subpoena for I don't know how long. I mean, it's really just been months and months and months. And finally, it came to a head where he was worried about being in contempt of Congress. And he, you know, what does he do? So he files a lawsuit to force the hearing to be in public because a public hearing means he can say anything that he doesn't want to answer. He can just hide it under the shroud of confidentiality, security clearance, national security. But if he testifies in private, there is no thing that he knows that is above the security clearance of those who are seated. They're senators, first of all. And second of all, they're on the House Judiciary Committee, right? So, or they're not senators. They're members of the House of Representatives, but they still have the same clearance, senators and House members. They have enough clearance to hear whatever the FBI has to say because they have oversight. It's not as if he has stuff that he was going to say that, well, that impacts national security. So they just take it to a closed session. That's why they want the session closed. So there's nothing that he can hide. He doesn't want that. He wanted to be able to grandstand in front of the American people. So half of the country that think he's a hero because he's finally come from the dark side of being a Republican to being a full-blown Democrat, the same guy who's renounced anything he ever believed before, and he now says he should have supported Hillary all along, which he was. He was supporting her all along. He was never a Republican. He's a plant for the Democrats, running around saying he was a Republican and acting like a Democrat the whole time. He has had his ability to grandstand and make this all about himself, the Comey show, which we've seen plenty of and we want it canceled. He's had that ability removed from him. And now he has to testify before them and he's not going to be able to hold anything back. And if he's lied to them, well, I mean, I'm hoping we'll see a criminal referral. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Let's get it on. So here's Goodlatte talking about what he expects from Comey. It's number two.
We've now examined thousands of pages of documents, searched through nearly a million documents, interviewed 16 other witnesses. Mr. Comey is, as the former FBI director, at the center of both of these investigations launched in 2016 with regard to Hillary Clinton and the Trump campaign. And it's the culmination of that. We've been asking for Mr. Comey to appear for a few months now. And when he refused to appear voluntarily for a transcribed interview, I was forced to issue a subpoena, which he now has sought to quash. That's, in my opinion, inappropriate. And now it's time for us to conduct that interview. After that interview, we do need to wrap up. But I will also say that there are always more questions that people will have, and that's why I'm pleased that Senator Lindsey Graham, who's expected to be the next chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and Chairman Ron Johnson of the Senate Oversight Committee, have both expressed very strong interest and intentions to me to continue to pursue this matter. So we do need to wrap it up. We do need to get this information out to the public, and we are hard at work on doing that. But Mr. Comey's testimony is a critical part of that.
And it is critical that we understand exactly what happened. And he hasn't mentioned it, but we're talking about the abuse of the FISA court, which I also saw articles written talking about the connection between President Trump. It was, I think, last week or the week before, President Trump said something about Obama judges striking down his asylum. So in other words, you enter the country illegally, you can't apply for asylum. And that was something that he added on to current rules and laws about what people can do, can and can't do with asylum. And it's completely within his purview as president, because immigration, that portion is remanded by Congress to the executive branch. And so he's able to make these kinds of rules. Obama did it. Why can't he do it? Well, this Ninth Court Circuit judge doesn't want you to be able to exclude people based on the status that they hold while they're in the country. If they're here illegally, how can you apply for asylum when you entered the country illegally? How can you ask us to let you stay here when you've jumped the line? Everybody else is waiting for years and years and years and spending 50 grand a pop to get into this country, and you just jump over the southern border and expect to be given asylum. And so Donald Trump wants to put a stop to that. It's an abuse of our system. But what do you see? This judge, which Donald Trump rightly called a Obama judge, and then you have Justice Roberts coming out of his hidey hole. You know, they're not supposed to comment on politics, but he certainly lifted his fingers to comment this time. Well, there are no Obama judges. We only have judges who adhere to the Constitution. We don't have Obama judges. We don't have Republican judges. We just have judges. Really? Because if that's the case, how did all those FISA warrant applications get approved? How'd that happen? I mean, help us to understand. Help us to help you to help us to help you. Okay, Roberts? We just want to understand how these are just regular judges when the Ninth Circuit consistently rules for liberals. And when liberals need a judgment, when they need to stop the executive, when they need something done, they don't go to the Fourth. They don't go. They go straight to the Ninth. The Loony Ninth, you know, the Nincompoop Ninth, all the nicknames apply. It's a bunch of people who are bent on destroying the Constitution and controlling the executive. They don't want three co-equal branches. Hey, Ocasio-Cortez, this is a segment of the show that could be good for you. Three co-equal branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary, not three branches of Congress plus the presidency. Somebody send her the Schoolhouse Rock series of videos or the link to the YouTube. She's going to get paid $170,000 a year for that tomfoolery. Back to the subject. So you've got Goodlatte actually having this interview yesterday on Sunday before the judge ruled that Comey, he can't make new law. Now, what am I talking about when I say that? Well, I thought this was pretty fascinating. So you've got a few days ago, this Comey, former FBI chief Comey, he didn't want to be deposed by Congress, but he had no legal basis to avoid the congressional subpoena. So what he did was he said, okay, you know, I'm going to get a lawyer and the lawyer will figure out a way to get me out of this. And that is, you know, that's accepted practice here in this country. If you don't like the way something's going, you hire an attorney or 10 or a big firm and they figure out a way to get around the law for you. So here he is. He's got this congressional subpoena and they want to speak to him about his conduct in the 2015, 2016, and 2017 DOJ FBI operations against then candidate Donald Trump. Now, congressional lawyers responded to Comey's lawsuit the lawsuit that he filed to avoid questioning. And the statement from the lawyers representing James Comey, they were speaking in front of the judge, and the judge is Trevor McFadden. And they were saying, hey, judge, here's your chance to create some new law. That's actually what they said. They said that if he would just work on creating some new law, because he's technically seeking to pause or kill a subpoena, he's using his case to air his accusation that members of the Republican-led House and Senate selectively leak details for their own benefit when they call for witnesses to testify in private. So I'll get through the rest of this. But right now, we're going to go to the break. And when we get back, we'll have Chad Groening live from Studio H. Stay there.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. 2019 is upon us, and we're going to be going back to Washington, D.C. and to Williamsburg for our spiritual heritage tours. And if you've been wanting to go, maybe this is the year for you. These tours fill up several months in advance. And one of the reasons they do is because we have an actual historian, a professional historian that comes on our tour with us. His name is Stephen McDowell. He's the president of the Providence Foundation, and he knows more about early American history, especially the Christian influence on early American history. He knows more than anybody I know. So, if you want to go with us, you can find out more information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's in June and September. Pick the month you want to go. Find out more information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Do tax cuts lead to lower tax revenues? That's what liberals proclaim all the time when conservative politicians attempt to cut taxes. Last year, that's what Democratic leaders predicted would happen when President Trump and Republican leadership in Congress pushed through tax cut legislation. The Republican argument was that tax cuts, along with reduced government regulations, would ignite a stagnant economy. Although the tax cuts would lower the tax rate for businesses and individuals, a booming economy would actually increase revenue. That would occur because of increased consumer spending and increased business investments. The latest government figures suggest that the president and the Republicans were right. October was the first month of the new fiscal year. Revenues for that month were more than $252 billion. That's more than $11 billion more than the revenue for October of last year, which was also a previous record for that month. Soon we will have revenue numbers for November, and I predict those numbers will also be record-setting. If you don't understand the economic basis for this, it can be confusing. We have a dynamic economy that the general public and even members of Congress need to understand. Cutting taxes doesn't mean you will always be cutting tax revenues. Actually, just the opposite took place. Cutting taxes increased tax revenues. Democrats will take control of Congress in January. You would hope that the Democratic leadership would have learned this lesson. Apparently, presumptive Speaker Nancy Pelosi has not learned this lesson. Earlier this year, she referred to the tax cuts as crumbs. More recently, she made it clear that one of the most important legislative agenda items was to roll back the Republican tax cuts. I think she should be grateful that the tax cuts provided more revenue for all the spending programs she has proposed, but apparently she doesn't see it that way. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Welcome back to Stacy on the Right on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Hey there. Welcome back to the program. Stacy Washington, host of Stacy on the Right here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. It's my pleasure to welcome our next guest, Chad Groening. He is a part of the fantastic team of reporters and newsmakers over at American Family Radio's OneNewsNow.com. Chad, thank you for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure to be on your program, Stacy.
Great to have you. Let's start off with a naughty or nice list. I was excited to see on CNSNews.com that they are reporting that American Family Association has come out and released our 2018 naughty or nice list, which retailers use Christmas in advertising. So which one of them actually acknowledged that the reason for the season is Christmas? Not Xmas, not holidays, not winter wonderlands, but Christmas. And the list is actually, there's some places on there that I like to shop at.
Yeah, there are for me, too. Unfortunately, though, Stacy, there are some on the naughty list that I like to shop at, too. And that's very, very unfortunate, including where I get a lot of my prescriptions. Walgreens, one of the naughty lists this year. Best Buy, I like to buy electronics. They're on the naughty list. And then Barnes & Noble. They've got a store here in Tupelo. And they're on the bad naughty list as well. The marginal list, Sears, which of course is going to be gone pretty soon, they're on that list. But there were some good ones on the nice list, including JCPenney, Lowe's, do all of our home improvement shopping there. Kroger, the grocery giant that my wife and I love to shop at, they're on the nice list. QVC.com, my wife buys a lot of stuff from them. They're on the list. And here's an interesting one. Toys R Us, Stacy. they're about out of business, and yet they're on the nice list. That's unfortunate that they do the right thing, but unfortunately, they're pretty well gone.
Well, the reason that Toys R Us is pretty well gone is a couple reasons, but I like to point it out because it's important for people to understand that our actions have consequences. Number one, we have fewer and fewer children every generation. So when my kids were teeny tiny and we were shopping at Toys R Us, we could barely wedge ourselves into the store. Every aisle was full of toys and people and little kids grabbing stuff and asking for stuff. And if we went by ourselves, it was just hordes of parents, two parent households, two parents walking together with lists in their hands, buying toys for kids that you would assume are with their grandparents or the babysitter or someplace while the parents are out sneaking around buying them gifts. Well, people who are coming in after my husband and myself have fewer kids, if any at all. The other problem with Toys R Us is even though they were really friendly to Christianity and Christmas, they had horrible customer service. If you ask any one of their employees a question, the answer you would get back, you'd almost want to just turn and on your heel and walk out of the store. And we put up with that because we liked buying the toys in person. But the advent of Amazon coupled with poor customer service and fewer people having kids means Toys R Us is in trouble. So the answer is, hey, you youngins out there, if you're in your 20s and your 30s and you're married, why aren't you cranking out the babies? They're a blessing. You'll love them. You'll never regret having them. Get to work.
Yeah. And of course, it's even worse in my wife's homeland of Germany and Europe, Stacey. It's the birth rate there is just absolutely, the Europeans just do not have children. And of course, we know that there are newer Europeans from other parts of the world, namely the Middle East, who do have children. And that's, of course, creating a problem in Europe, which is certainly not very good.
Well, I highlighted this. I've been talking about this for years about Germany because I grew up there. And we went back there in 2006 when our kids were really small. And we went to visit my sister who was working there on a six-month temporary duty assignment for the federal government. And we stayed at the SI Suites in Stuttgart and we were there for 10 days. And I noticed how many fewer children there were, how many fewer preschools and elementary schools there were in just in our regular, all the cities and towns and major areas we went to while we were there. It was so bad that this will tell you what the internet was like back in 2006. No smartphones. So I actually went down to the hotel business center and paid like 9 Deutschmarks every 10 minutes to go to the FBI World Factbook on the computer and look up and see what the demographics were for Germany. And back in 2006, they were already beneath replacement rate, more old people than young people. So when you say Germany, it's not just something you're bringing up because of your familial connection. It's a real problem, and it's not just Germany. It's Japan. It's other nations in Europe, Great Britain. They're bringing in migrants who don't have the same, not only the same ethnic background, but they don't have the same Christian foundation, and they have a lot of children, but they're not coming there to make Europe more European. They're coming there to conquer Europe for the caliphate and Islam. So it's a sad situation. I encourage you, if you're in Germany and you're listening to the show, we do have foreign listeners, get cranking. Don't let anybody convince you can't stop it until you've had all the kids you can have. Have some babies. That's all you got
to
do.
I want to throw this in then, Stacey. I'm glad to report that my wife's niece and my wife's nephew and his wife both have become parents. So my wife is now a grandniece two times. And so there's two examples. At least my wife's family is doing their job.
There it is. That's what I'm talking about. You give them kudos from over here at SOTR. We are always happy to see people, married people, crank out the babies. Because I'm not kidding. We have three kids, and if I could go back and do it again, we'd at least have one more. Because you never regret having the kids. I only meet people who say, oh, we probably would have had a bigger family if we had, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I'm grateful for the three that we have, but we definitely could have just kept on going. We could have had five. Look at the Addisons. Look at the Hamiltons. They have five kids apiece, and look how happy they are. And look how young they look. The kids keep you young, keep you fresh.
And it's also what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to multiply.
That's right.
You know, that's what the Bible says to do, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of like the Great Commission, you know? Some things that you're supposed to do. That's why God gave us that ability to procreate.
That's right. To get, you know, get those quivers full of arrows.
Yeah, right on.
Well, okay, so I want to do one more company on here. You were talking about Walgreens, and I see categorized as marginal, you're talking about your prescriptions, and we also have to purchase prescriptions, and we used to use Walgreens, but we had a couple of experiences with them where we felt like they didn't really value our business, so we moved to CVS, which was actually good because they are a preferred partner for our health insurance, so we get discounts to get our prescriptions there. But CVS Pharmacy is actually on the marginal list. So marginal is described as company refers to Christmas infrequently or in single advertising mediums, but not in others, which is kind of sad because CVS, when Halloween was here, it was a month of those skeletons hanging around on every aisle. I thought to myself, who knew CVS had this much Halloween apparel and the scary looking little monster things, and they had them everywhere. But for Christmas, and I have yet to be in there, we've only been through the drive-thru. But what I recommend people do is just go down this list. When you take a look at the list, this, and you can find it on my Twitter feed, it's at cnsnews.com also if you want to check it out there. What I recommend you do is you say to, because imagine what would happen, Chad, if thousands of people across the country who shop at these places normally, if you're a Kohl's shopper, you know what I'm talking about. You're in there, you know, frequently to purchase things that you need. If you just tell the people who work there, it's a real shame to me that, you know, you guys don't acknowledge the reason for the season, which is Christmas. We understand other people practice different religions, but the reason we have time off at Christmas and the reason I'm spending money right now on gifts is Christmas. And I would really appreciate if you would reflect that, because I can spend my money anywhere. And start saying that to these people. They actually give that feedback to their managers. The managers give it back to the corporate. We've got to start being more vocal about this.
Yeah, and there are a couple on the list that are on the nice list, but unfortunately, you know, where I live in Tupelo, Mississippi, they don't have those, some of those stores, you know. So you're right. We have to go after the ones that we shop at. And I know Walgreens is probably one that I'm going to go to and tell them that, because, hey, look, you know, this is
you're probably spending quite a bit there for,
and we have a lot of listeners across the country who probably won't, you know, they'll probably take a look at the naughty list and say, well, maybe I better change my pharmacist, you know, because of that, you know, whether it's that one or CVS even being on the marginal list. So, yeah.
Well, if you do switch from Walgreens to CVS, tell CVS why, and then tell them, look, I noticed you went all out for Halloween. Christmas is real, too. And I'm going to decide where I buy a certain dollar amount every month of certain items. I'm going to spend that money. And if you want that money, you need to acknowledge the reason for the season. And I want to highlight, you mentioned Barnes & Noble's, Best Buy, Family Dollar. I happen to be a huge Nordstrom chick. Me and the girls like shopping at Nordstrom Rack, which is a division of Nordstrom. We also like shopping at Nordstrom. And Nordstrom is on the naughty list. And I hadn't referred to the list last year. And I was talking about being at the Nordstrom. And a friend of mine said, don't you work for American Family Radio? Nordstrom is on the naughty list. And I had to go home and get on my computer and look it up. And I was like, shameful, Chad. I was downtrodden. I can't believe Nordstrom can't get it together. As much money as Christians spend in Nordstrom, they should really get on the good foot. Also, PetSmart, you know, some of these you're like, yeah, whatever. But Office Max, how many of us buy our paper and our printer ink from Office Max? We should be able to get them to change.
One thing I want to make note, though, on this, Stacey, and I was talking to my colleague, Chris Woodward, who covers this story quite a bit, and he said when he started covering the Naughty and Nice list back in 2010, there were more Naughties than there were Nices. So AFA and our program, the Naughty or Nice list, appears to be working, because I counted them. 51 are on the nice list, 9 on the marginal, and 18 on the naughty. So the nice list has grown, and the others have shrunk. So we must be doing something here right with our Naughty and Nice list.
Yes. And you know what, Chad? Thank you for pointing that out, because I do like to be encouraging here on the show. And if we are actually making a positive impact in this area by mentioning it to people, by moving our shopping dollars around, I know it can feel a bit inconvenient, but if in the long run we have more people, more businesses acknowledging the reason for the season, then we're doing something right here. I truly believe that what you just described is the same impact we're going to see with Target. They're very resistant, but that they're eventually going to come around as well.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's move on to, I think you sent me another story. What are you covering?
I've got several stories I'm working on today that are really interesting. One of the stories is about, You know, there's a push now by the Democrats. They want to roll back a nearly 200-year-old ban on headgear on the U.S. House of Representatives floor to accommodate, guess what?
That one
a Muslim
yes.
woman who's going to be a new member of Congress. Now, Mike, of course, there's the first question. If this had been someone who is a Christian and they wanted to be accommodated, like for whatever reason, do you think that Nancy Pelosi would go to bat for them and say, we want to change the rules so that this Christian can be accommodated? I don't think so. But a Muslim? Oh, gotta, we have to accommodate this woman, even though 200-year ban doesn't matter. This woman's got to be accommodated because we don't want to be discriminatory against her right to wear her headgear.
So this is the same one who said she didn't believe in divestiture from the nation state of Israel during the campaign. And then the day she was elected, she announced that she really does believe in BDS and she's a Palestinian supporter.
Oh,
same
yeah.
chick, right?
She is really bad. She's just like Keith Ellison, who she's basically replacing. She is replacing, actually. This woman is bad news.
Here's my problem. Here's my problem. The people who live there, they're going to get what they voted for. She lied about that. She's going to lie about other things. She's there for an agenda. She's there to accomplish her own designs. She's not there to represent the people that sent her there. And they're going to get what they deserve with her. And I'm sorry, because I know that sounds really mean, but it's the truth.
Well, it's the same thing with the voters of Minnesota electing Keith Ellison to be the attorney general. I mean,
he abuses women. I didn't even realize he'd won.
Yes, and the fact of the matter is, you know, he's going to do everything he can to elevate Islam in Minnesota and to, you know, stomp on Christianity. And the people of Minnesota up there, I don't know what the deal is. I used to live there for a while, but I got out of there and moved here. But they're crazy. They elected this guy knowing his background with women and knowing that he has very dubious connections with Islamic groups, and yet he got elected. And, you know, that's how people are in certain states, certain parts of this country, Stacey. The people, they don't seem to care.
Well, you know, I think people don't care until their actions, like they're made to care or their actions come back to bite them. And I see that right now. I'm very sorrowful about it. So it's not like I'm gloating here even in the slightest little bit about what's happening to the people of California, because they've spent decades electing the worst kinds of individuals and having single party rule in their state. And this last election cycle, they did yet again hand more power to the Democrats. Meanwhile, Washington Free Beacon has reported that, you know, the fire maps that should have been completed 9 years ago weren't completed because of PG&E and their lobbyists and corrupt officials working for state government who just simply put it off because they were being coerced to do so. And now you've had these wildfires where not only personal property destroyed, but people died. Like, lots of people, not one or two or 20, as if that's okay, but lots of Californian citizens died. And why? Because people didn't do their jobs. People elected people who didn't care about completing their work. It's important. Who we elect is really important. I know sometimes because we're on political radio, it's Christian radio, but we talk politics a lot. You know, people will say, oh, you always say that most important election of my lifetime. Well, I don't usually say that. But I do say it's important for us every single time to carefully select these people that we're going to vote for.
You mentioned California, and you know why California is messed up like it is. It's because so many illegal aliens were able to come into California, and enough of them got the vote. And the demographics of Orange County are now just like the rest of California, and it's because of this immigration and because of the fact that California gives sanctuary status to illegal aliens. And this is another interesting story that came out. The census confirms that 63% of non-citizens are on welfare in this country. 4.6 million households, 63% of non-citizens on welfare.
Yep, we're talking about that next segment. It's really impactful. And You make an excellent point, Chad. We can't just let anybody be in charge. Thank you for coming by today. We love having you on and talking to you. Chad Browning of OneNewsNow.com.
Always great to be on your show.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back with more. Stay tuned.
A dear sister in the Lord who is a writer for the AFA Journal wrote an astonishing article about idols. In this article, she attests to the fact that if we are truly honest with ourselves, we will find things or people whom are more important in our lives than our relationship with God. Let's just say when I read this, I did my own soul searching and found a few. There are several passages in God's Word where He tells us to not idolize things or people. Even the very first two commandments warns us about idolatry. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, John tells us to keep ourselves from idols. Idolatry is sin, and it could be your career, your marriage, your car, including yourself. John Piper says it best, sin is what you do when your heart is not satisfied with God. How do you get satisfied and excited about God? Refresh your memory of what the Savior of the world did on the cross and ask the Lord to help you make Him number one in your life. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
This is Just a Minute with Stacey Washington. It's not getting a ton of attention, but the wall at our southern border is actually under construction. Arizona will have 32 miles of short, ineffective vehicle barrier replaced in April of 2019. This replacement wall will stop pedestrians and vehicles from illegally crossing our border. Another area under construction in the Rio Grande Valley of South Texas will add 18 miles of new wall to stop illegal entrance, finally filling in those wide open spaces. Environmental laws are the main hindrances against utilizing the $1.5 billion allocated by Congress to move forward with wall completion. Under the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996, DHS can waive all legal requirements if needed. It's good to finally see some movement forward. The Republican-controlled Congress must fully fund completion of the border wall at the president's requested amount of $25 billion during the lame duck session. It's the least they could do. I'm Stacey Washington. Find out more at stacyontheright.com.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. It's not every day that his purple badness is linked with a prospective trade pact between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. For years, there's been NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. But House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi isn't quite sure what to make of the new trade plan touted by President Trump.
Whatever they're calling it now, it has some kind of a gibbledygook in it. The trade agreement formerly known as NAFTA, is a work in progress.
Perhaps they could call it purple trade. Congress will have to ratify the USMCA or US-Mexico-Canada agreement. Lots of congressional Democrats don't like NAFTA. They're suspect of President Trump saying this is a done deal. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
You can download episodes of Stacey on the Right from the podcast page on AFR.net or UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Now, back to the show on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
It's absolutely clear now, if it wasn't before with this caravan, that we do need to have the wall and other infrastructure at the border. And we also need to have resources for our immigration enforcement agencies so that they can enforce the law in the border vicinity and in the interior of the country so that we aren't such a magnet for illegal immigration, and also reform the asylum system that people are abusing to as a pretext to get into the country, even though, as you said, they're just trying to get into the country. They're not necessarily seeking asylum or to escape persecution. The Congress needs to do this. The problem is that there's just a little bit of time left when we're going to have Republicans in the House in charge, and they can't agree on a funding plan. That's how deep the chasm is within the Republican Party over what the priority should be, enforcement or other types of immigration reforms. Hopefully they will be able to salvage something to get the executive branch the resources that they need. But things are only going to get tougher come January when the Democrats are running the House and initiating all the spending bills.
And it's going to be an utter waste of time. Welcome back to the show. You know, this is an immigration expert chatting about, you know, that we need a wall, but Republicans can't seem to get together on it. Imagine if the Democrats hadn't been able to get together on what to do with Obamacare. Now, remember, 3-4 years before Obamacare was ever passed, SEIU had their administrative assistants who normally work on other tasks working on Obamacare. How do I know that? Because a friend of mine that I've known since I was on active duty in the Air Force serving in Saudi Arabia on our TDY, he and I served in the same little, it was a little trailer on the flight line where we did our daily reports, and the jets would take off and land and the crew chiefs would come in and we'd see the pilots and everything. And normally our office was on the flight line. But in this particular instance, he and I were working together. He was from a different squadron, but same Air Force base as me. And we lived in the same dorm. And, you know, we would be sitting there talking, and that's how we got to be friends. And oddly enough, he's from Missouri. I ended up in Missouri because of my husband's work. And we have remained friends to this day. And I remember him telling me on Facebook, oh, like almost 10 years ago, maybe. Don't quote me on that. But years ago, before the passage of Obamacare, he tells me that he's working for SEIU and they're crafting a healthcare bill. And I said, why would you be doing that at SEIU? And he said, beats me. We're not actually, like when I say crafting it, we're not making up the contents of it, but we're collating it and putting it together. We're proofreading it. We're pulling different sections of it together and making sure there are no redundancies. And it's huge. He said, we have whole departments working on it. I'm like, wow, that's weird. A healthcare bill? And then a few years later, we see the Democrats, through reconciliation, take a bill that the Republicans had pretty much voted to approve and swap out the language to put Obamacare in and pass it in the lame duck session. That's how single-minded they are. 1/6 of the American economy and untold numbers of lies told by Democrats to pass Obamacare. And we can't get the Republicans to simply say, you know what? So we're going to agree to disagree on these 10 items. But what we can agree on is that we need some funding for the wall. So let's do it. But Republicans are too busy tying pork to their I'll sign on if you give me the pork I need for this. I'll sign if you give me the pork I need for that. And then pork purists are like, well, we can't do a bill that's full of pork. We're Republicans. How about y'all just get together and do something? So it's true. I teased this during the first hour about the census confirming that 63% of non-citizens are on welfare, 4.6 million households. So this is a majority of non-citizens, and it includes people who are in the United States with legal green card rights. But legal green card holders are actually tapping into welfare programs as well. These programs are set up to help poor and ailing Americans. Remember, we had the Great Depression, and then we had all of these programs set up to make sure that people wouldn't die like happened back during the Great Depression. It's a way that Americans take care of other Americans by saying that no one should have to die of starvation in our country. And it's based and predicated on the social compact that we have here and the idea that we take care of each other. That's what this is about. So it looks great from the outside and everybody wants to come in so they can get taken care of too. But if you're a green card holder or if you're in the country illegally, you're not a part of the people that we're supposed to be taking care of. You're supposed to be here taking care of yourself if you're a green card holder. And if you're here illegally, you're not supposed to be here. I don't care what you've experienced. You're not supposed to be in the country illegally. So in a new analysis of the latest numbers from 2014, 63% of non-citizens are using a welfare program. That's more than half. So for people who are saying, well, we need them here to do the jobs, they're not just doing the jobs Americans won't do. They're taking the welfare Americans won't take. Imagine if 63% of Americans were on welfare. Well, first of all, you can't imagine that because how would our country function with 63% of the people receiving welfare? So if you look at people who've been here for 10 years or more, the number grows to 70%. So people have been concerned, the people from think tanks, people on the right side of the political spectrum, editorial writers, policymakers, state legislators, everyone has raised concerns that the longer a person is in the country illegally and or legally and taps into welfare, the more likely they are to be on that welfare generationally. Well, it's the truth. Once immigrants tap into welfare, they don't get off. It's the ultimate gravy train. Welfare use is higher for every type of immigrant household than for native households, with the exception of housing programs. So if you look at any welfare, 63% of immigrants and 55% of all immigrant households, which are citizens and non-citizens, but 63% of non-citizen households and 50% of naturalized citizens. So people who come here and are naturalized are 50% of the people, that 50% of them are on welfare. And the native households, 35% of native households are on welfare. So let's break this down again. And remember, you know how much I love a chart and a graph. This is what I did in the Air Force, is I made these. I extrapolated data for trends. It was awesome. When I say that, people often laugh because they think I'm being sarcastic. But no, I really loved making those charts and graphs. I loved delving into the data. I loved the Access database and converting it into Excel spreadsheets. It was just so much fun, like super fun. It was fun on steroids. So when I see these, I'm like, oh, yes, let me just look. What are they talking about? So the source of this information is the 2014 survey of income and program participation. And the cash welfare, just so we can define what we're talking about here, is the earned income tax credit, SSI, TANF, which includes food stamps, WIC, and the school lunch and breakfast program. Housing includes subsidized and public housing. So if we have 35% of Native households partaking in any old welfare, 23% of Native households partaking in Medicaid, 21% partaking in food stamps, 19% just getting straight cash from the government, why would we want illegal immigrants here? Why would we want to push those numbers up so that all households taken in combination, it's almost 50% of the people receiving some kind of payment from the U.S. government to help them live? Do you see what I'm saying? We go from being self-sufficient, if we continue to allow people in here illegally, we go from being self-sufficient nation with a high GDP and the leading economic engine of the world to just another third world pit, someplace where people are so easily triggered that if you say it's a third world pit, they're like, that's a hate crime. She said hateful things. You need to investigate her, like in Great Britain. That's how they do in Great Britain. You say something people don't like, they send the DCFS to your house to investigate whether or not your kids are being taken care of. They attack you and they launch an investigation into whether or not you're allowed to say stuff like that. That's where we go. As soon as the people who are leeching off of our system, who are taking from taxpayers, robbing us blind, stealing from us because they come from third world countries and they don't want to fix their own country, they just want to come here and sit on their butts and take from us, as soon as there are enough of them, they'll vote to eliminate the right for me to sit here and say that. They'll vote to eliminate the right for me to have an AR-15 or have guns to protect myself. What they want to do is turn this place into that pit they left. They spread the pittiness all over the place wherever they go. Do you not like me saying that? The line of haters is long. Get in the back. It's a long walk. You better take off now so you have time to get there and still get back for dinner. The Center for Immigration Studies said in its report that the numbers give support for Trump's plan to cut non-citizens off of welfare from the public charge, if you will, if they want a green card that allows them to legally work in the U.S. And that's a fair trade. You want to work here? You ain't getting no welfare. No welfare for you. The Trump administration has proposed a new public charge rule, making it harder for prospective immigrants to qualify for lawful permanent residence green cards if they use or are likely to use U.S. welfare programs. So this goes to the concern over immigrant welfare. It's justified as households headed by non-citizens use means-tested welfare at high rates. Non-citizens in the data include illegal immigrants, long-term temporary visitors like guest workers, and permanent residents who have not been naturalized. So the cost of all of this cheap labor, the cost of all of these people coming here to do the jobs Americans won't do, is that the Americans who don't want to do those jobs are still basically doing them because you're paying for the people who are doing them to live here. You're paying for them to be here, not just educating their kids, but them in particular. They're on welfare and they're getting tax dollars, which you yourself are paying in. You think you're making more money because you're not picking strawberries? Well, if you subtract off the amount of your income that's going into taxes to pay for the strawberry pickers to live, you're really not making as much as you thought you were. Now, isn't that something? Imagine if Democrats and Republicans were both as concerned about this, instead of being concerned about the browning of America, we're concerned about making sure that Americans who work aren't primarily working for the benefit of people who shouldn't be here in the first place. Green card workers and illegal immigrants. The numbers are huge. The report says that there are 4,684,784 non-citizen households receiving welfare, and nearly all of them have at least one worker in the house. So they have someone working, and then that person's probably receiving cash or not making enough. And then everybody else, all the kids and anybody else who's living there, they're all getting the welfare. So in their report, Stephen A. Camerota, who's the director of research, and Karen Ziegler, who's a demographer at the center, said that in census data, about half of those are in the United States illegally. Their key findings in the analysis, 63% of households headed by a non-citizen use at least one welfare program compared to 35% of citizen households. Welfare use drops to 58% for non-citizen households and 30% for native if the cash payments from the earned income tax credit are not counted as welfare. But it is. If you've ever received earned income tax credit, you know that it means that it pushes you from owing tax to getting a tax refund. So you might not have even paid very much in, but you're still getting a refund. That's not really a refund. That's a gift. And it comes on the backs of other people who are working 4 months out of the year to pay their tax burden. 3 months, 4 months. The first dollar you earn that actually is all yours comes in the summertime. The first 4 months of the year you're working for Uncle Sam so he can pay these people. So you've got the food programs, which non-Native households use at 45%, 21% of Native households use it, and Medicaid, 50% of non-Native households use that, and 23% for Natives. So while most new legal immigrants, green card holders, are barred from most welfare programs, as are illegal immigrants and temporary visitors, these provisions only have a modest impact on non-citizen household use rates because, one, most legal immigrants have been in the country long enough to qualify. And number two, the bar does not apply to all programs, so nor does it apply to non-citizen children. So all you have to do is get in the country and have a child. And if you're a legal green card holder, now your child can get the welfare. Some states provide welfare to new immigrants on their own. And most importantly, non-citizens, including illegal immigrants, can receive benefits on behalf of their U.S.-born children who are awarded U.S. citizenship and full welfare eligibility at birth, which is why I go back to, remember, the 14th Amendment was created for the benefit of freed slaves. That is the special relationship between whites and blacks, where whites owned blacks, and so did Indians, and some blacks owned Indians. I mean, it was a travesty. And the history of slavery knits the blacks and whites in this country together in that agreement that was made after the Civil War, where blood was shed and atonement was made for the sin of slavery. And now we move forward into the future. But other outside groups do not get to partake in birthright citizenship unless one of the parents is an American citizen, because the birthright citizenship was enacted to protect the children of freed slaves. And anyone who disagrees with that is just with their hands out in my pockets, grubbing around, trying to take not just the money that we pay in taxes, but they're trying to take my legacy as a descendant of slaves and my connection to white Americans, because we are all one people group. Sorry you're not in there, but you're not. That's the truth. I'm sorry it hurts you, but I'm not sorry because sorry, not sorry. All right, that's the show. God bless you from the heartland. Be back with you tomorrow.